Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw. It's the best only wrestling podcast you need to be listening to. We're available on the iTunes, on YouTube, and on Stitcher Radio, probably on other Android. I don't know much about Android. You have an Android phone.
Yeah, I don't know much about Androids either.
I don't really know much about like what you can find on Android. So, but I know we're supposed to be like in a lot of different places. Right now, if you're on iTunes, man, you hit that subscribe button, you hit that download button, same with Stitcher.
You review it.
That brings us up in the rankings. When you do a search for pro wrestling podcasts, then we're up top 20. We're top 20. I want to be top 10.
Top five. Top one.
Top.
Number one.
All those top ones, they all have like wrestling guests on. They have like Stone Cold and their HBK on there, like as guests. I want to see if we can get to number one with no guests.
Okay, whatsoever. Let's make that
Look,
happen.
I would love to have guests on the show.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
I think it'd be a great challenge.
Yeah, it's a worthwhile challenge, yeah.
What are you doing down there?
I'm making sure the audio is all fine.
Are you okay down there?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Anyways, we got some things to plug here, Lars. Number one, we've been overwhelmed by the response to our Patreon.
Correct.
Here for Going In Raw. You guys are buying into a community when you buy into the Going In Raw Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/Steven Larson. There's all sorts of great rewards. Right now, we've got 28 people watching on the live stream, interacting with us before the show, after the show, in between the little camera breaks that we have to do because we have a DSLR that only records like 12 minutes at a time.
Correct.
So you can interact with us more.
There's a bonus episode for patrons as
That's
well.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you get a bonus episode monthly if you donate $1 a month, weekly if you donate $5 a month. And the bonus episodes are great because they're so goofy. It's like after an hour of talking about wrestling, we go into like overtime and just the silliness takes over. Mm-hmm. So those are a lot of fun. At the $20 mark, we've got a Friendo care package that everybody gets at the $20 mark, including a Going In Raw cover variant edition of the Steven Larson comic book, which I'm wrapping up production on. I'm really, really happy with it.
Good.
It's coming out really good. You're going to like it. Everybody's going to love it.
Yeah, I haven't seen really anything from it, so this is all going to be a surprise to me.
The cover, if you're a $20 a month patron, is going to be Going In Raw specific.
Well, they also in that care package, they get other stuff.
Right, other Going In Raw stuff.
You get some, I don't know, like some stickers or, oh, well, you know, it'll be a surprise.
The exclusive t-shirt and the thank you custom videos for the $50 and up are already out there.
Well, the thank you videos are.
The thank you videos, the t-shirts, I'm waiting for it to come in to make sure that it looks good. And then we're going to be sending those out. I'm really happy with the design for that. It's exclusive
it looks really
to that.
Good. Looks really good.
To that reward tier. If you can't afford it, that's totally fine. This show's still going to be available for you free of charge, live all the time. It's just if you chip in, then you get some extras, you get some bonus stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun for everybody. Doesn't matter if you're chipping in, if you're not, but we do appreciate all the support for everybody out there.
Yes.
So that's our Patreon. What's in our bonus episode today for the $5 and up patrons?
I haven't really decided yet.
Really? You haven't decided?
We talked about all the speculation with The Undertaker retiring. We'd mentioned that before.
Can we just solidify that right
sure,
here
then.
Now? Okay, bonus episode. Is The Undertaker retired? We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's going to be really silly. We get really silly with that.
Well, I mean, we talk about something extra for like 5 minutes, and then we just answer questions in the chat.
Huge news also. More Going In Raw in a respect, in a manner. At Machinima, it's been our home for a long time now. They said, hey, look, we really like this Going In Raw thing that you're doing. Why don't you guys do a Raw recap on Tuesdays for us? So it's like, here are Going In Raw, we go into in-depth. We go into big speculation. Our Raw recaps are a lot more.
Yeah, we analyze and we speculate.
Exactly. So at Machinima on Tuesdays,
we don't do any of that.
By the time this is up, we go through, we recap, we give a very truncated version of what we do here on Going In Raw.
Yeah, we might speculate a little bit.
A little bit, but we're shoving like a 3-hour show into like a 7 to 10 minute time slot that we're aiming for. So that's a lot of fun. We're doing that on Tuesdays. And then on Fridays, we're doing SmackDown and NXT recap show. And so that's all at Machinima. That should be live. Today's episode should be live by the time this podcast goes up. So go to Machinima. Go check that out. Give support to that. Because the more you support that, the more content we could do here at the Going In Raw podcast. So that's a lot of fun, too. But my goodness, that was a lot of information.
Yeah.
Larson, I think it's time for our Going in Raw Raw Cap.
What?
Maybe with that like sweet machinima money, I can afford to get that Raw Stinger back, where it's actually the like the real one.
It's Raw Cap time. Raw
it's Raw Cap time. What are you looking? What are you doing?
I was looking to see if the video was up already.
It's not going to be up yet, man.
I don't know. I'm just looking.
It probably is by the time this is airing, yeah. But for the 30 people watching on the live stream.
Well, I was just checking.
Yeah, okay. Let's see here. So, the show started off. Third week in a row, Larson. Third week in a row. Shane O'Mac in charge of Raw. Apparently, losing to The Undertaker had nothing to do. Nothing to do with his status as general manager of Raw. Speak on that a little bit.
He's in charge of Raw for the last 3 weeks.
You okay. But you made a good point during our recap.
It was various people on Twitter and the comments on episodes of Going in Raw, probably in the chat room here too, made a point of mentioning that at least during the initial announcement that Shane was going to be taking on The Undertaker, Vince didn't say he had to beat The Undertaker. He just had to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania in Hell in a Cell. And that's it.
However, I
felt like in the weeks after that, they kind of made it clear that Shane had to win.
They definitely, at the very least, inferred that there were stakes involved in terms of Undertaker's legacy versus Shane taking over Raw.
Yeah.
So I feel like they may have like been, look, a lot of shit was muddied on the road to WrestleMania this year.
Yes.
It was definitely not a paved road. This was like a 1920s, 1910s. You know, sort of old school road like you'd find in the Deep South. Is like a really like
mean,
is this even a road?
You mean a dirt road?
A dirt road. But is it like are we on a road WrestleMania? Like we get lost really easily.
Okay.
And they got lost really easily. So I think the inference was definitely there. That's why everybody's on social media right now saying, really? What the fuck was the point of the match then?
Yeah.
Point of the match was to sell tickets.
No, the
and
point of the match
to
was
watch
to have
Shane
him jump off the cage.
Exactly.
That was the point of the match.
Exactly. So that's all well and good. This week, you know what? And I said this before, no authority to start the show.
And you know, with Shane hosting or being in charge of Raw, it when he comes out, begin the show, it's great energy to begin the program.
It's really good energy. You mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when it all went down. It lacks it that first episode afterwards sort of maybe lacked the drama. It lacked the turning point that we're all used to. However, like you just said, It does bring a new energy to the show.
Because while the authority promos, the 20-minute authority promos to begin the show might advance some story,
mm-hmm.
it kind of sucks the air out of the building immediately.
I've also noticed that maybe as a direct result of that, Shane isn't as verbose as he maybe used to be. He's much more sort of the silent hero type now.
Well, he just gets to business.
He gets to business, exactly. A lot of business in the opening this week.
And I will say the last 3 weeks, sorry to interrupt you, the last 3 weeks since Shane's been in charge, it seems like they have the opening promo,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's 10 minutes.
Right.
And then they give you a good long match right afterwards.
They've been kicking off Raw with some, I mean, may not kick off, but they've been like getting to the action pretty quick.
Yeah, the first half hour of Raw these days has been short promo, long match.
Right, exactly. This week it started off with the Ambrose Asylum, the first official episode of the Ambrose Asylum after he took over, kicked out the highlight reel, said...
Well, Shane kicked out the highlight reel.
Said, no more.
No more.
Now it's the Ambrose
reel.
Asylum.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose has been doing a very good job. He's passing out flyers for the Ambrose Asylum. You see him at last week? I think it was in the end of SmackDown. Maybe it was Raw. I forget. He was handing out flyers for the Ambrose Asylum.
Oh, I didn't
it was like, but it was like black and white photocopy
That's
flyers.
Great.
It was great.
I liked his rug.
Yeah, he had the shag rug. He had a plant he was very protective of. Mm-hmm. It was a really good segment. He's funny. He's funny as shit. He's very natural. To kick off the show, Ambrose Asylum. First guest in the Ambrose Asylum, Shane O'Mac comes down, interrupted by Kevin Owens, says, you kicked me out of the building last week, and now you're giving Sami Zayn... Because didn't he announce Sami Zayn's going to have a match or something like that? No.
No,
that
happened yet.
I forget what he said. In any event... Oh, because Shane said, I kicked you out because you were going to cost Sami Zayn a chance of the world title.
Yeah.
So anyways, long story short, big skirmish, ended up with Shane O'Mac declaring payback matches. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, something that we have been waiting to see for a very long time.
Yes, a match that probably should happen at WrestleMania.
Probably should have happened at WrestleMania on a much bigger stage. And then, of course, Chris Jericho, who's probably the number one heel in the company right now, and I think he's being booked really well.
Yeah, he is.
Chris Jericho's taking on the probably number one babyface in the company, Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Again,
another match that probably should have happened at WrestleMania.
Right. So far, we're looking at matches, and you throw the Bullet Club in there with Roman Reigns. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
We're looking at a better card than Mania.
Well, I think we're looking at the card that most of us probably wanted for Mania.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, okay, Mania happened. Now let's fantasy book what Mania should have been, but make it in its own pay-per-view.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, because I honestly do think that the WWE... There's so much pressure to make WrestleMania such a big show, such a giant event, that they have performance anxiety. Not the performers themselves, but the booking team.
Yeah.
And it's like, we need to have this happen. Now that that's done with, okay, now they can relax
now
and have a little bit of fun.
Let's tell some stories.
Let's tell some stories. And with the pressure off, sometimes it's much easier. You know, as we've dabbled in writing before, and you know, it's much easier, for me anyways, personally, to perform artistically, creatively, whatever, when there's no pressure on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's just me personally. It makes sense that it would be that in that case, too, because there's so many cooks in that particular kitchen, the WWE.
And I'm sure with WrestleMania in particular, I'm sure they run so many analytics and metrics.
Right, exactly.
You know, new market studies about what would attract the largest
when you're
general
trying
audience.
To bring in 100,000, you know, casuals, basically.
Yeah.
So that kicked off the show. I thought it was a really cool kickoff. And then the first match to go down was Jericho versus Sami Zayn. Good match.
Yeah.
Fun match.
Yeah.
Like I said, I like that Jericho. I think he's believable as the number one heel in the company, especially right now. Rollins is gone. Kevin Owens is right up there with him.
But I think Jericho is the guy that has a legacy.
Right,
which
exactly.
I think WWE right now is all the injuries needs.
Right, absolutely. He had a really good match against Sami Zayn. Zayn lost cleanly.
Yeah.
Which I like. If you notice, because I'm looking just below our camera, we have like the matches right here. These are all clean finishes. Not a lot of Usos versus Vavilla. That was a clean finish.
I don't think there's any dusty finishes.
Bunch of clean finishes this week.
Yeah.
Now, usually I wouldn't like this because I like to say time for a dusty finish.
Yeah.
But that's not happening this week. Jericho won cleanly
with
the Code Breaker.
Correct.
And what do you think about Sami Zayn tapping out this week? That's a shout out. That's a shout out right there to Christopher Kaufman. He picked up on that last week when I said that.
I said,
he didn't tap, or you said he didn't tap out. I said, oh, yeah, okay. So what do you think about Sami Zayn tapping out? My son. Anyways.
What do I think about Sami Zayn tapping out?
Well, okay, overall, Sami Zayn seems to lose a lot.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What's the deal with that? Why is that okay?
Well, NXT, if I remember correctly, he didn't win much there either in the early going. But he got over thanks to his heart and determination.
His crappy ska music. That's how he got over. People love that song.
I helped too. Yeah.
You know, but when Becky Lynch comes out, I always think that it might be Sami Zayn. They are kind of similar.
Not that
they're
different.
Very.
It's not that different. Yeah.
They're
not that different.
Yeah, they're very up with life songs. You know. Yeah. Oh, and that's the same. Like the.
Yeah.
When I say that, oh, who is that? It's either one.
Yeah. No.
I know Sam. No, Sami Zayn is. Oh. But Becky Lynch is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways. So Sami Zayn lost. I think you're right. I think that Sami Zayn's a kind of character who everybody knows he can win, and he wins when it matters.
Mm-hmm.
When he won the NXT title, he was on the, and then of course Kevin Owens comes in and destroys him.
Yeah.
And they're okay with that because at some point Sami Zayn can actually win, and that
match he'll win will probably be a payback.
Now let's just.
I'd be very surprised if Owens wins that match.
I just really hope that they are able to. At a certain point, you need to be credible as a threat in order for people to keep getting behind you, no matter how loved you are.
Yeah.
You need to be credible as a threat.
Yes.
So they can't have him lose too much.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
That's why I think he'll beat Owens at Payback.
Yeah.
Probably. Unless there's some kind of dusty finish.
Wipe myself down. It's a very hot day today.
You should have a drink your beverage.
I've been drinking my beverage. I'll do this. Now it looks like I'm sweating again.
Yeah.
Anyways, after that... Sauron Morello.
Oh.
What's his name? Sorello?
Moro Ranello. Yes.
I don't like that name. He's a fantastic.
He's great.
Play-by-play
he
guy.
He is so good.
I mean, to me, he's still second. He's second to Matt Stryker. I watched AJ Stryker versus Nakamura again the other day.
Yeah.
AJ Styles versus Nakamura the other day, and Stryker was on commentary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and he's great.
He's great in Lucha Underground.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. He's great. Anyways, AJ Styles has an interview with Mauro Ranallo. And AJ Styles is reunited with the Bullet Club, and he introduces them. Now, I thought this segment lacked any and all drama, and that kind of bummed me out because I was like, I wanted like a dramatic reunion between these three,
did
like
you want,
something
did
big.
Did you want the inverse of what happened, where the in ring interview with AJ and Reigns happened, then the Bullet Club come in and beat up Reigns?
Well,
and then backstage they have a thing where it's like, hey, it's nice to see you, but did you want something like that?
I don't know. I mean, okay, look, right now it looks obvious, given this, watching this interview, seeing the events play out, that it looks like they're going to have the Bullet Club sort of be the heels and AJ stays face and they turn on him. Either turn on him or cost him the title somehow and he turns on them. They split up, basically.
Yeah,
they're like, hey, we don't like you. And then possibly Finn Balor comes in. Evidently, according to the dirt sheets, Finn Balor was possible to come up last night.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big deal, and it sounds like this is going to be Balor Club. Like, if he comes up, he's going to be linked to these guys.
Yeah.
They're all related.
Yeah.
So, how do you interpret, given that information, how do you interpret, are we looking at a four-man faction, or do you think that they're going to keep Styles as this true babyface and have Balor and Festus and Machine Gun be a three-man faction, sort of heels?
I think that's what it's going to be. Is it'll be Balor Club, mm-hmm, three-man faction, and AJ will stay babyface.
Which means, obviously, I mean, that's a way to get AJ out of getting the belt at Payback.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I kind of wonder if that's going to happen for a few pay-per-views, where they'll pair a brain with somebody,
mm-hmm,
and then just have some weird finish where there's, you know, nothing settled.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, AJ gets a main event push.
Right.
He doesn't lose the match cleanly.
Right.
He gets catapulted into another story separate from the title. Roman Reigns can move on to something else where something similar could happen, just leading up to SummerSlam maybe. Maybe he'll have his first true finish there. So, like, it keeps Reigns on TV, but you notice he hasn't wrestled in a while. Well, did he wrestle last week? I don't remember.
I want to say he was in a tag with Wyatt.
Yeah. This week he didn't wrestle.
Right.
I think they want to keep him on TV, but not have him be on TV too much, because he just gets booed and everything.
I mean, look, this is such a weird situation. This is such a weird situation where you have your world heavyweight champion, and it's like they tried to write it off at the post-Mania Raw by saying, "Oh, it's going to be a crazy Raw. Everybody's going to be booing people that normally you cheer." But it's like, no, every week, and we all know London is a smarkish crowd, anyways. But there's like 20,000 smarks in the audience. And that doesn't look good on TV, because then next time you go to TV somewhere, the crowd's like, oh, well, everybody's booing this guy. I want to boo this guy,
too.
It looks fun to boo this guy. Yeah. And when we boo him, he gets flustered on the mic.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned this on our Machinima recap. There's no conviction when he comes out there and talks. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, because there is a match in between this.
Yeah, we'll get back to that, though.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Enzo and Cass. Come on. Or wait, do you want to get
back
to...
No, we'll get back to that match. Let's continue our train of thought.
Okay, all right. So, fast forward, Reigns comes out to the ring, okay?
Yeah.
He delivers his promo, or once again, he uses that line, I'm not a bad guy, I'm not a good guy, I'm just the guy.
Yeah. It's not a bad promo, it's not a good promo, but it is the promo.
It's just his promo, is what he does now.
Yeah.
It's his memorization Ryback technique. It's fucking horrible. I'm sorry,
Or the writers don't try to in any way organically work it into whatever the larger point he's saying.
He just comes out and says, I've said this before. Yeah.
I don't know if you heard this one.
Now,
but like, work it into stuff. Work it into the promo.
Even if you understand that your job is to go out there and flat say it, okay? You have 20,000 people booing you, okay? Through nonverbal communication, you can lap it up. You can eat it up. You can send them into a frenzy of boos.
Yeah.
And then with a big smirk on your face, come on, guys.
Yeah.
I'm not a bad guy.
I kind of wonder if that's how it was supposed to come off.
Well, it's one of two things. Either that's how it's supposed to come off, or they're saying, hey, we want this to be a slow burn. Don't be so attitude. Don't have so much attitude, which is so fucked up.
I know.
Because you're sending him out there to fail.
I know.
I don't know. And like we've said before, like at some point Roman Reigns needs to step up and talk to the people in the back and say, look, this isn't fucking working.
Yeah.
I need, like, you need to give me a distinct, because this slow burn shit isn't working. You need to give me a distinct character to work with here. Now, Who am I? Yeah. Who the fuck am I?
Yeah. Because right now he is really in purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems from week to week, they're like, okay, be a face with attitude.
Yeah.
Be a tweener.
Yeah.
No, I'll be a face.
Yeah.
Well, just pick one and run with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't try to straddle a line of trying. It seems like they're trying to write him to be as inoffensive to the crowd as possible, which in turn just makes the crowd boo him more because they see he's a guy with no direction.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, anyways, AJ Styles comes out. They have a little back and forth where they pay respect to each other, assert that each one is going to win. AJ Styles starts to leave. When he's halfway up the ramp, Bullet Club comes in. They destroy Roman Reigns. And he gives that face. AJ busts out some acting chops. And it's like they said, okay, AJ, you're really not okay with this, but they're your best friends. And he's like, okay, I'll run with that. And he did an okay job.
Yeah,
like
he
got the point across. He got the point across. I thought it was funny, though.
I did, too.
And then, because he holds it there forever, because he knows the cameras are there. You have to do everything in the WWE. You have to do, like a million times more than you would, like, on TV or the movies or whatever. Like, he's all... And even when they're behind him, he's still... like that.
Well, there's a shot on I think WWE.com where Anderson and Gallows are behind
they're
him.
They're behind him!
And he's still...
That's the only reason I knew that, because there's not literally that picture, and there's the cameraman in there on his face.
Yeah.
And fucking Festus and Machine Gun are behind him.
And he's still making the face.
And he's like, still making the face.
Why didn't he say something to him right then?
Yeah, like...
He just let him walk on past him so they can get his reaction shot.
Hey, well, guys, let's talk in the back real quick. And he goes with him or something. It doesn't make any sense.
But none of that was on TV, so I guess it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's on WWE.com. It has to matter. So then backstage, you see Roman. And you mentioned this before off camera. He had much more conviction in this back and forth.
That, you know, like I said previously, they try to make him as middle of the road as possible.
Right.
Backstage, it's like, okay, Roman, you have a clear motivation.
Yeah.
You know, you got your ass jumped and you want answers.
Yeah, exactly.
Be mad.
AJ comes
up. And it was
up.
Crystal clear and it was good.
Right.
He has motivation and they don't try to make everybody happy.
Right. AJ comes up to him and says, I had nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
That leads us to believe, okay, these guys are heels coming in. They're going to be turning on AJ at Payback. Or maybe AJ is just playing it that way, saying, hey, you know, this wasn't me, and he is going to join up with them. I find that hard to believe. They seem to be pushing AJ as a legit, true babyface.
Correct.
So. Oh, I'm so fucking sweaty.
I don't know either.
I sweat a lot, dude.
So what, like, let's say after 2 weeks of Bullet Club in WWE, let's speculate right now, who do they side with? Who are they going to team up with? I think there's three options. We have AJ.
Okay.
We have Balor.
Okay.
And I think the long shot is Roman. Because in his promo last night, he talked about the Roman Empire.
Right.
As we.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure, okay, I'm not pretty sure. I'm thinking that word was used purposely. So who is the we in the Roman Empire?
Look, if it's not the Usos, it's the imaginary fans he believes he has. It ain't going to be the Bullet Club.
I mean, I hope it isn't.
There's no way it's going to be the Bullet Club. And there's no way it's going to be the Shield as much as people want that to happen.
No, it's not going
to
happen either.
No. Look, he's talking about either he's talking about his fans or he just plumb fucked up that line. Because it's hard to say this is the era of the Roman Empire and I'm here to stay. That actually would have made more sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. He says Roman Empire and Empire is chock full of people. He's saying we just in the general
and
descriptive.
And not that, and no point that I recall has he mentioned his fans as part of his.
That's true. Empire. I know.
I mean, Usos need a heel turn.
Yeah,
Reigns needs a heel turn.
I would totally be for an Usos Reigns heel faction. Get the Usos, have them wearing more SWAT gear, like to match up with Roman. Sort of a Shield 2.0, Shield Usos type thing. I'd be behind that. I'd totally, because there'd be character there. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. And I think they would get over. I think that would be over. To see them as heels.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be like vintage NWO, like Black and White versus Wolfpack, you know? So, I honestly think, given what we read in the dirt sheets that Finn Balor was supposed to be coming up that yesterday, I think they just said, hold on a second, storyline-wise, let's wait a week.
Yeah.
So it would be really surprising if we don't see him next week or at Payback.
Yeah.
Which I think will be, I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think it'll be outstanding.
I'd be interested in assuming that Balor Club would be a heel faction. You're more familiar with Finn's heel work.
You'll love him.
In New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see. If he has a little more charisma as a heel.
I think, dude, when I see him on NXT, I feel like he's just waiting. It's to me, his body language, his nonverbal communication, makes me feel like he's just waiting for that call up because he knows he's going to be a heel. He knows he's with his friends. He knows he finally gets that role that he's wanting. That's what it feels like because because I've seen his heel work in Japan and it's interesting and it's charismatic. And it just feels like he's going through the motions in NXT.
Yeah.
I'm the champion. I've got the belt. This is what everybody wants. I know Shinsuke Nakamura very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's waiting. He's waiting to be a heel. He's waiting for a badass heel turn. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Imagine waiting to jump up to main it to the basically main event status.
I know.
You know? In the hottest fucking faction since DX or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Anyways, rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
Tag team tournament number one contendership on the line. Enzo and Cass versus the Dudley Boys.
This is a good match.
Enzo and Cass came out on fucking fire, man. Their promos.
The crowd loves them.
Are insane. They are hot with the crowd.
Yeah.
I loved him so much. God damn it. He did that little riddle rhyme thing.
I know.
Oh my God. I want to go back and watch it again, man. It was really good. So that was really good. Really good traditional tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
Bubba Ray, you mentioned earlier off camera.
Oh, he was doing a lot of great trash talking.
Right, he really was.
Enzo, it was like old school Bubba.
It was old school Bubba. It was like an old school tag match where you get your face small guy being taken out the entire match.
Mm-hmm.
He makes the hot tag to Cass. Cass comes in, destroys the Dudleys. 1, 2, 3, that's it. I love their finisher where he slams Enzo on the guy.
The rocket launcher.
I've always loved that. And it's a lot of fun to see that now on Raw. We have Enzo and Cass going up to that to the finals.
Potentially be number one contenders.
Yeah. Let's see here. Then we had after the Reigns, AJ stuff. Oh, this was great. This is potentially my favorite moment in the entire show. This was fantastic. So the aforementioned backstage AJ Styles, Roman Reigns bit, right?
Yeah.
Roman Reigns, he punctuates the scene with some line. I forget what the line
was. I think it was the one versus all.
Okay, one versus all, something like that. Camera doesn't cut to commercial, which it should.
It typically does, yeah.
At that point, we need a Crisley promo, okay? No. The camera, I think, quick fades. Doesn't even cut. I think it quick fades to Fandango moving his hips doing this shit. And it just kills the drama dead. And it's fucking hilarious. And I died laughing. I was like, oh, that's great. So anyways, then we had Fandango against the 2016 Going In Raw Wrestler of the Year, Baron Corbin. The official wrestler for Going In Raw.
We haven't done that poll yet, so it's not official.
That's a technicality, my friend. Even money says...
You want to say the presumptive?
Look, here's the thing. Yeah, right now, he's the Donald Trump. Right now, he is the Hillary Clinton of his particular poll. Look, I don't care. We could do the poll, and we're going to do the poll.
Yeah.
You need to start making a better case for your guy. You need to start making a better case for Apollo, or are you just waiting for me to make a mistake? Are you hoping that my obnoxiousness is going to kick Baron Corbin out of the running?
I'm not going to tell you what my strategy is at all.
You know, man, I'm going to tell you something. You need to start live tweeting during Raw. Because I think I'm building up my faction.
The problem is I watch it Pacific time. I watch it at 8, and you watch it at 5.
Oh, ooh, that's the issue. You're at a natural disadvantage.
I am.
Yeah, but you know what? There's got to be other West Coasters who are there watching with you.
No, I know.
Time to start doing it. You got to get the word out for your guy. Apollo Crews. Apollo Snooze. Anyways, next up. Oh, yeah, Baron Corbin destroyed Fandango. Dolph Ziggler comes in, probably going to see them at Payback. Who do you think is going to win that match?
Baron Corbin.
That's right, Baron Corbin. End of days, end of Dolph.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was on the pre-show, though.
No, Apollo Crews is going to be on the pre-show. You know that's going to be true.
We'll see.
If he has a match at Payback.
Yeah.
If he has one. Let's see here. Then we had Miz TV.
That was a long segment.
Oh, Miz TV. Oh, God, I'm getting tired just thinking about it. It was so long.
You don't like the addition of Maryse, I take it?
Here's the thing. I should like it. They're heels. They're true heels. They're heels that I legitimately don't like. My problem with them, I think, more is that I don't see Miz as a legitimate threat. That's always my thing.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have to, and this it's sort of the thing about Baron Corbin. I'm not sure I see Baron Corbin as a legitimate threat. I think he'd be funny as a legitimate threat. Baron Corbin's my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay, and everybody's allowed that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what we see from Baron Corbin now is what he is. This is his ceiling.
If Kevin Owens, because we're both big Kevin Owens
fans. Yes.
If Kevin Owens were booked weak, I wouldn't be nearly as big fan, nearly as big a fan as him.
Of him.
Jeez,
yeah.
But the fact that he came out on his debut, he killed Cena. When he got to NXT, he killed Sami Zayn. Yes, he loses. He lost this week. He lost last week. Week to week, he can lose.
Yeah.
But every time he loses, he's furious. People pay for it. They kick him out of the arena. He puts Sami Zayn through all sorts of different furnitures.
Yeah.
That's what I like in a heel.
Yeah.
Whenever you're a beast, I like that.
Yes.
And I respect that. Miz has never been that guy. He's always been the arrogant guy who cheats to win, and even then, it rarely works.
Yeah.
So that's what
and
I don't like about
the
Miz.
He's kind of been doing, apart from that brief face turn he had, what, 2 years ago or
which
so?
Which went nowhere.
Yeah. He's kind of been doing the same thing since...
Since the John Morrison days.
Yeah.
He really has. There's no depth there. And he's got... this is the thing about The Miz. And he seemed... Number one, the thing that I like about The Miz is that he really does seem like a company guy. I've said that I like The Miz in certain situations. Yeah. I just don't like him as a belt holder because I think that belt is supposed to be used for storyline purposes for my entertainment.
Yeah.
You know? And he's supposed to be used for other purposes for my entertainment. But the belt belongs to somebody else.
Yeah.
The thing that I do like about The Miz is that he's a professional guy. The thing that I don't like about The Miz, I feel... like he just doesn't have that natural charisma where I'm like, or intensity. Those can be interchanged, I feel.
Yes.
To make me give a shit about him.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't think he's not the kind of guy. Like that WrestleMania 27 or whatever it was.
Yeah, the main event
was
terrible.
Like one of the weakest ever.
Yeah.
And it's like you could see, this is the thing. Go back and watch WrestleMania 27, watch his entrance. He has this look on his face like he's constipated.
Yeah.
It looks like he's trying to push his charisma out from whatever box it's being held in and emit that to the people. He's trying to show people I'm legit.
Well, look at
through sheer force of will, and it doesn't work.
Look at Seth Rollins. He also played kind of the cowardly heel guy.
Right, exactly.
But he still was driven to be the champion, and there was passion and intensity behind that.
Intensity. He has so, I mean, he's a naturally charismatic guy, but he's got so much intensity.
Mm-hmm.
He remind him and Enzo and Cass, all three of those guys, remind me of ECW, and ECW is a very intense, I mean, obviously, everybody thrived on intensity in ECW, and that's what all those guys remind me of. The Miz is not that, he's the exact opposite for me.
No.
So anyways, then Cesaro comes out, does his party boy routine, has the New Day shirt on, gives him this, New Day come down.
Crowd erupts.
Lawn comes down.
Crowd is silent.
Yeah.
And people love the New Day.
People
love
the New Day.
It's so awesome.
It's fantastic. I love to see hard work be paid off.
Did you see that they, according to Big E, they sold the most merch over WrestleMania weekend?
Yep, I did see that. That's fantastic.
That's
amazing.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. So, you had an 8-man tag match. I mean, it was a fun match, but it, kind of a clusterfuck as an 8-man tag match is going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get away from that. It's just those matches that never a lot of stakes involved. It's just, we're on a European tour. Let's just toss everybody into a ring.
Yeah.
The problem with that is they followed that up
with the same scenario, but with the women's division.
With the women's division.
Yeah.
Again,
it wasn't a bad match. The pacing was a little clunky.
And that's where you end up in what we've dubbed the Raw Black Hole. Because you got 3 hours, and then you have a good, 40 minutes, maybe more, of that in the middle, where you're just floating around 16 different people wondering where the hell you are. And that's when you just start to tune out. And that's sort of the problem with a 3-hour Raw.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I told you earlier, I would have preferred if they would have stuck to... Look, they could do one of two things. Either stick to a really good, strong segment with Charlotte and Natalya, because they have a really good feud going on right now.
Yes.
Or devise something else.
They need a B story in the women's division.
They need a B story. They have so much talent in the women's division right now.
There should be at least 2 to 3 stories going on every week in the women's division.
I agree.
Simultaneously.
Because you have one thing that they try to push with SmackDown, they're trying to push SmackDown, on people and say, this is on USA now. You're trying to get the ratings up. And the main events in SmackDown have been pretty good lately. Mm-hmm. They've actually been pretty good. But they still do way too many Raw recaps. They still do Raw recaps on SmackDown, and they should not be doing that. Maybe when the brand split happens, that's going to stop. But they do that on SmackDown, and that kills it.
Yeah.
That absolutely kills it for me. You can keep your women's division B story going on SmackDown, maybe featured a little bit on Raw, but then have the meat of it on SmackDown. That's totally fine. You need to have that. You have way too many good talents.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when Bayley and Asuka eventually come.
Right, yeah. And where was it? I just noticed Craig Tula says, or Becky and Emma, where's Emma?
Yeah.
She wasn't there last night.
Yeah, why wasn't she in the match last night? If she's feuding with Becky.
I miss Emma. Anyways. I mean, wait, Summer Rae was in the match.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
I don't know why they're trying
to. I think they're trying to do something with Summer Rae and Sasha.
That's not good. Let's see here. Then we had... So before that, it was also announced. So Charlotte and Ric Flair did an interview. It was announced Natalia is going to have Bret the Hitman Hart in her corner at Payback. You guys know how we feel about Bret the Hitman Hart. Moving on. The Usos and the Vaudevillains in the tournament.
The second semifinal match.
The Usos. The Vaudevillains. After our discussion on the Machinima recap.
Yeah.
I'm kind of feeling them a little bit.
See, there was a point in NXT, I think when they were champs or shortly before they won the belts, that we were both like, "Oh, this gimmick's pretty cool." I mean, it's very niche, and at that time we didn't know how it would translate to Maine. But like, this is different, it's interesting, and they were having decent matches. And then after they dropped the belts, it just seemed like their matches were boring. They had no direction. But then last night against the Usos, the pace of the match was pretty quick. And it highlighted their strengths. So I think when they work a slow pace, it's just kind of dull.
If they
work fast, they're fine.
They had a really good match against the Usos last night.
Yeah.
The thing about the Vaudevillains, I joke about their titties because they do have weird titties.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden English does not look like a wrestler.
They said last night he was 6'4", 215 pounds.
That sounds right. He's very thin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, man. I love their gimmick because it is so specific and it's so niche and they pull it off really well.
Yeah.
But I also love wrestlers who their presentation, and this is very specific.
Yes.
Their presentation when they hit the ring gets people in a fury.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins' music kicks in. Dean Ambrose's music kicks in.
Yeah.
Their music kicks in and you're like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
The Vaudevillains. Sup up, everybody! It's WWF, blah, 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 blah. I don't even know who the fuck that guy is.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's somebody. He looks like Matt Bloom. He looks like fucking Albert, but I know he's not. You're dead on arrival when you come out to old-timey...
So you want a dubstep remix?
Yes, I do.
The energy level up.
Yeah, or like hard style.
Okay.
I want a strong style remix.
Okay.
No, that's Shinke. Never mind. I don't know. You assert that you can have old timey music and still be hyped.
Well, no, I was saying earlier that the piano bit that first happens, that's up tempo, but that segues into more of a brooding, kind of ominous sounding thing as they actually walk to the ring. They need to get rid of that altogether. Keep with the up tempo piano.
But hold on,
people can clap along and get into a little.
Nobody's gonna clap along to
that. They do in NXT, but granted, it's NXT. I know, but they do in NXT.
The brooding thing stops and it goes back to the old timey as they're walking down.
I don't think it did last night. All I heard was brooding.
Really?
All I heard was brooding, ominous.
I thought I was looking for it and I heard it go back to it.
Maybe it did once they hit the ring.
Because I thought
at that point it's too late.
Last night, it's weird that we're talking about this. Because last night, I was like, if that brooding stuff keeps going while they're at the ring, I would kind of be okay with that because they're supposed to be heels, maybe. But then it went back to the old timey stuff, and I'm like, wait, are they?
See, I thought I was paying attention to it too, and I didn't notice it go back to the.
I am notorious for having a crap memory.
Yeah, me
so
too.
I don't agree. Okay, so I don't know who's right.
So someone tell us what happened, please.
I don't think the crowd's gonna get up for old timey music, and I don't think they're gonna get up for brooding music. I don't think
what
either
about
one.
A dubstep remix of old timey music.
I'd be fine with that, but it wouldn't be into their gimmick. And that's what I love about them. How can you get old timey music?
It's a catch 22.
It is a catch 22. You can't do anything about it. Anyways, so now we're gonna have an NXT alumni finals for the tag team number one contendership.
Correct.
The Vaudevillains were victorious over the Usos.
Surprisingly, I thought
clean match. Yeah,
would take that.
And then of course a big Cass and Enzo.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's gonna be our payback match for the number one contendership.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah,
that's
me too.
Good. Let's see here. Then where are we? Oh yeah. Okay. So then. It's Apollo Crews.
Well, first, before the match, they had a promo.
Yeah.
A video promo for him.
He's very goal-oriented.
He wants to be champ.
He's very goal-oriented. That's
he
his
wants
gimmick.
To be champ.
Do you understand? That's his gimmick. He wants to be champ. Everybody wants to be champ. You shouldn't be there if you don't want to be champ. That's lesson number one. I learned that from Triple H on his documentary.
Let me ask you this.
You want to be here if you want to be champ.
Do you think Baron Corbin wants to be champ?
Yes! Oh, no, he don't care.
He don't care.
No, he said it in a video once. He said, I want to be... WWE
yeah,
champion.
Was it convincing?
No, I think he thought it was like a medal.
Yeah.
I think he thinks that it's like a gold medal that you get.
Yeah.
I don't think he even knows what it is.
Probably not.
He just hears people talking about it and he thinks that's what he has to say. So Apollo Crews has his little video thing. He comes out and...
I will say this, that Apollo Crews was involved in a storyline that was...
It was a storyline?
And the match worked because of it.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Yeah.
The storyline was, apparently it's on the Raw pre-show, Social Outcasts.
Which is cheating. Who watches the Raw pre-show? You can't.
No, they showed it on Raw last night. They showed the little snippet of it.
Yeah, they showed a snippet of it. I know, but okay, go on.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, we want you to join us.
Yeah.
And Apollo says, okay, I'll join you if Heath Slater beats me, but if I win, you have to leave me alone forever.
Right. Right. And we all know, look, you look at Apollo Crews, you look at Heath Slater, you know Apollo Crews is going to win. He is really good in the ring.
Yes.
He needs character definition.
I was thinking about this last night after his match.
Okay.
And I'm happy you brought up intensity earlier.
Okay.
I think that's one thing he can really improve on.
Okay, yeah.
Intensity.
Yeah. Okay, but let me ask you something, though. Here's my thing about that. Some people exude it. Some people, it just seems like it's a natural part of their character or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's an intangible. That's something that you can't really define. It's kind of like charisma.
Months ago, you mentioned an idea for a character form where he was this kind of, not a heel, but just maybe a
he was
little,
dickish.
A little dickish.
Okay, this is the one moment in Apollo Crews' career that I've seen of his that I was like, oh, I can get on board with this. And I never saw it again.
Yeah.
And it was, he was being pitted against Tyler Breeze.
Yes.
For one of the last things that Tyler Breeze
yes.
did. And it was backstage at NXT, a Full Sail, whatever it is. And they ran into each other in the hallway. And Apollo Crews doesn't move aside when Tyler Breeze is trying to get past him. And he says something like, I'll see you out there. But he says it's kind of in a condescending, dickish way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's what they're going to do with
and
him.
And I think...
This guy knows
yeah.
he's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I feel like I'm on board with that idea.
They can do that.
Yes.
But they need to have him be dickish. And again, it's one of those things where I wonder if they want a true baby face with him. And I think that'd be a wrong way to go. Because unless you're writing specific stories for him where there are stakes involved, you're not going to get a lot out of that. And I'd love to see that, but I think you can get a lot more with a lot less effort if you just give him that little attitude. If you give him that little, because who wants to see just a straight up like, hey, I'm a good guy. Nobody wants to see that. We've seen that with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Anyways, so he destroyed Heath Slater. That was good. A lot of people out there saying, hey, Steve-O, that was later in the show than Baron Corbin.
That's true.
But the big question is, was that simply filler between a relatively important tag team match and the main event? If it's not on Hulu, and Baron Corbin is on Hulu, I think that's kind of the defining...
Well, someone asked us on Twitter yesterday, who fought the scrub?
Oh, who the big... Okay, yeah, but I think my point stood. Who's the bigger scrub? Yes, Fandango is a bigger scrub.
Oh, yes.
I agree with that totally. However, Fandango was mere fodder for an actual storyline between an upper mid-level guy, Dolph Ziggler...
I would say that... They did more story development in the backstage segment
on the Raw pre-show. That. I don't know about
for
that.
For Apollo Crews and the Social Outcasts, and they really have done for this whole Dolph Baron Corbin thing.
Okay, but listen, hear me out. On SmackDown, Baron Corbin beat the winner of the Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania, Zack Ryder, and he destroyed him.
SmackDown. That's just a step above main event.
Still canon. It's still canon. Then, of course, that brings us to our main event, Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose. Kevin Owens lost cleanly in a really good match.
Yeah, it was a good match.
That's the thing. I don't mind Kevin Owens losing if it's A, to your top babyface,
mm-hmm.
and B, in a really good match where both guys were getting off really good moves.
Yeah.
And the fact is, Dean Ambrose is just a couple months removed from losing against Triple H, the World Heavyweight Championship, in a very close match
yeah.
where he basically had him won, save for that stupid rope break thing.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Kevin Owens losing this. Kevin Owens can lose and still look good.
It was unexpected for him to lose 2 weeks in a row. That's it.
They've done that before, though, and then exactly what happened. Who was it? Who did he feud with right before he like re-won the IC belt? Dolph. It was Dolph.
Yeah.
They had him lose a bunch to Dolph.
Yeah.
And then he went and picked up the IC belt. So maybe this is part of a pattern. Maybe this is a precursor to something big for him.
Could be.
So look, he's the number two heel in the company.
Oh yeah, at least. Yeah.
And he's gonna be the biggest. I mean, he's the biggest up and coming guy they got. So. Yeah. That's good stuff.
It was a good show overall, though.
Yeah. All right, Lars and Simon. We don't have any fan mail this week for the board.
Did you check the P.O. box?
I didn't check it today. I checked it Friday. So it's possible we got something yesterday.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, questions. You ready?
You guys can send us stuff for the wall. P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California, 95662. We'll put it up here. We put up our primetime Brian Lee. He's poking out behind your old butt there, Larson. We got some questions for you. Are you ready? All right, questions.
Patrick Cheeseman.
Hey, Cheeseman.
Looks like they're going to try to use the Bullet Club to get Roman over. Will it work?
I don't know. I think they're going to use the Bullet Club to get the Bullet Club over.
I think they're going to use the Bullet Club to get AJ Styles, the Bullet Club, and probably Finn Balor over.
Yeah, I don't see Roman Reigns getting over the Bullet. I mean to get somebody over. Like, I think that term basically stems from I'm going to use the fan love that I have to get you
the
some
rub.
Fan love, the rub. Exactly. And I
don't see that happening.
He'll keep the belt, but I think the winner in this is the Bullet Club for sure because they're attacking the champion.
Yeah. Platinum Patriot, how does Maryse change the dynamic for The Miz? Also, does Cole's interview give a more solid foundation to elevate Zack Ryder?
Because they said Zack Ryder evidently is a cancer survivor, mm-hmm. which is interesting. I don't know. I know that I really hope that they continue Zack Ryder's story on SmackDown because he had a strong... he lost to Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
But he had strong moments on SmackDown. I think he shit-talked The Miz or something. I hope they keep that going. He has the WrestleMania ring gear that he was coming out in.
Yeah.
He still has that. He's got a lot going for him. I hope that that's a solid SmackDown storyline they could be pursuing.
I know.
You know, keep going that.
What does Maryse add to the Miz dynamic?
Honestly, dude, I don't get it. I don't like to shit talk people. I really don't. I mean, we shit talk characters. As a performer, I mean, I see her as an annoying heel. I'm just not a big fan of annoying heels.
Yeah.
I just think they're, okay, you're wasting my time.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about her. Like, I read up on her just a little tiny bit, and she came up in 2006, 2009, something like that, when the Divas division was the Divas division.
Yeah.
And it was like a bunch of former models and stuff that they were trying to
bring,
not former, but, you know, pretty faces they were bringing in.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with that. I don't like that. I think that's, you know, as a manager, that's fine. Oops.
Well, I think that's going to be her role, just as...
Right, no, I know. I just, she's a reminder of that time.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't know. I'm just not into it.
Alex Martosi. So the main event scene is too crowded, but everyone is injured, retired. How is this possible, and is this good or bad? I think it's good right now. They're, with the apart from Jericho, these are all wrestlers who are new to the main event scene.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They're all getting elevated.
Yeah.
They're all getting some... quality time on TV.
Yep.
I think it's good for everybody.
Yeah.
And when Cena and Rollins and everybody else comes back, it'll all sort itself out.
It'll fit, yeah.
And the, you know, and the upside is that Cena and Rollins will have new people to feud with.
Exactly. Cena, I think Cena understands what his role is at this point, and it's not going to be constantly in the main event. I know he'll get his title for
he'll break his record time, then.
But yeah.
Louis R. Molina. So who's your pick to win the Money in the Bank briefcase this year?
Well, I read a thing online about...
I
read a thing online that said Rollins might win it again, but I kind of think that's beneath him. My pick for Money in the Bank... Is that in June?
Yeah. Oh, it'd be Owens, interesting if he debuted.
I think Owens is a fucking lock for
it
now.
It'd be interesting if Rollins came back, was a surprise entrant in the Money in the Bank.
Because think about it. What's the tangible item between the IC belt and the world title?
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
Briefcase.
I think it's Owens locked. What do you think? I think Ambrose is above it.
See, he would have been my pick.
I think Ambrose is above it. I think Kevin Owens, because he hasn't main evented yet in terms of the title, I think it's going to be him.
Typically,
if they gave that shit to Sheamus, they're going to give it to Kevin Owens.
Typically, heels win it.
Yeah.
So in that sense, yeah, Owens would be my pick. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ambrose got it.
Yeah.
Platinum Patriot again. Glad to see Gallows brought back proper and not given the Festus treatment. What former stars would you want back and done right?
That's a really good question.
We talked about how we'd have CM Punk return before.
Yeah, for sure. But more along the lines
of Luke Gallows, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I know this is okay. I really hope. And somebody tweeted at me yesterday saying that they heard this is the case. I haven't really looked it up to see how much legitimacy there is to that. Really hope the Colon brothers, cousins, come back with Carlito.
Yeah.
I really do. And I know that that would just be Carlito again. It wouldn't be like done right because he was done right for a long time.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Carlito back with them. I think they'd be fucking entertaining as shit.
Yeah. Those promos are good.
Those promos are good. They're funny guys who have just not been booked right and not even booked right. They just haven't been presented correctly.
Yes.
Who else?
Everybody else I'm thinking of is in NXT, or not NXT, sorry, TNA.
I'm trying to think of somebody who hasn't been used right, and then but who could come back and be used right. I mean, Drew Galloway is kind of the obvious one, but
yeah,
I feel like
I thought of too.
I feel like he was just a case of being booked out of legitimacy, as opposed to, oh, if they just repackaged him, he could be good.
Yeah.
I just think, hey, you know, they tried to get him over as the chosen one. They tried to get him over straight up as who he was. It didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, Shelton Benjamin was already over as hell. He was already done
right. Yeah, he was great.
I don't know.
Charlie Haas.
Yeah.
Is he still wrestling, even?
I don't know. I'm not sure. You see Jim Cornette saying WWE didn't know what they had, and that was Ed Ferrera. What did Jim Cornette said something recently, didn't he? He talks a lot of shit about Lucha Underground.
I don't know why. Lucha Underground's good.
Yeah,
it's really good. Alex Shez, do you see the UK ever getting a pay-per-view, not network special, airing live in the afternoon or on tape delay?
Not one of the big four, but yes.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Well, they got SummerSlam 93, so it's possible they can get one of the four major ones.
But do we think it'd happen in this day and age?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
Because they want to air it live.
They
prime
want
time
it prime
in the
time, yeah, exactly.
So it'd have to be noon or noon or one-ish in London.
All right.
Which isn't, you know, that's what they did with SummerSlam, I believe. Or do they air it prime time or they split the difference? I feel like they split the difference.
I have no idea.
I don't remember either. Oh, wait, no, it wouldn't be. It'd be 5 here, so it'd be late morning.
Yeah, that'd be kind of difficult.
Yeah. Ashley Smith, who is your guilty pleasure wrestler? Hers is Corporate Kane. Yours is Baron Corbin.
Yeah, Baron Corbin. But I'm all in on him, dude.
Yeah, you are. Who's my guilty pleasure wrestler?
Apollo Crews.
he's a good wrestler. There's no guilty pleasure there.
Who's your guilty pleasure, then? I feel like you need one. I don't think you have one.
I know,
one.
But I feel like I've had one, though.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, Fandango was for you for a while. He was! Okay. It's okay. It's a guilty pleasure.
I just don't remember it.
You were really up on him. Oh! You know what we didn't talk about?
Huh.
The return of Titus O'Neil as, like, a porno guy.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that package? I thought that was a new gimmick of his. He finishes everything he does. He's a finisher. He's a finisher. He's a finisher. And then it's like an anti-smoking campaign.
Thing, yeah.
I was really hoping that was going to be the debut of his new gimmick. And I don't know fucking what it was going to be. Maybe he'd appropriate other people's finishers. I don't know what it would be.
I don't know.
But I was really looking forward to that. I was very disappointed.
I can't think of a... Whatever. I'll move on.
Killing me, man.
Infrared Ruby... It's been a long day already for us.
It has been.
Infrared Ruby 421. When does Balor debut with his club? Could be as soon as Payback.
Could be as soon as this Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, book a Bray Wyatt title run. We didn't mention he's hurt. Bray Wyatt is hurt.
Oh, that's so. Do we know how long?
No, I haven't heard. I mean, the WWE acknowledged that he was hurt, but I don't believe they said anything about.
I haven't heard anything about how long it's going to be
or how long he'll be out.
Yeah.
So if, I'm assuming if they didn't announce anything, then it must not be too bad.
Yeah.
Because if it was like, you know, with Rollins when he blew out his knee, they were pretty quick to announce.
He was I'd like them to do like an old school like with the corporate. Ministry used to do, or just the ministry, I guess. They used to do some fucked up, like, I mean, you can't do that necessarily these days. Like, you can't crucify people or you can't hang people. But if they took that type of tact, but for the PG-13 era we're sort of in with Roman Reigns, like maybe build a faction around Roman and then take them out one by one until you have the whole family surrounding him and be very dramatic about it. Take the title off him somehow, like in a completely fucked up way.
Yeah.
And then, and then burn the title. I'd love that. It'd be great. But they're faces now, so I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. All right, that's the end of questions.
That's the end of questions?
Yeah. All right, Steve, what time is it?
Oh, Larson, it's time for the Ultimate Wrestling Trivia Challenge. Time for Kayfabe Corner.
What is Kayfabe Corner?
It, three names.
No.
Real, five, fake. No, three and nine? Six and six. Six names, real. Six names, fake.
Yeah, six and six.
Sometimes seven and five.
It's six and six.
Sometimes seven and five. Anyways, you're not going to find a better wrestling trivia challenge this week, Larson. What is our theme? I don't know what the theme is.
So I put it to our patrons.
$10 and up.
Correct.
On our Patreon. You can vote on Kayfabe Corner every week.
So it was actually a bit of an upset in my mind because I thought I set it up because it was the New Day against the League of Nations. And I wanted the New Day to win. And I thought they would, but the League of Nations
really
won.
It. What was the vote like?
When I cut
handedly?
Up, no, it was 10-8.
Ooh.
So it was close.
Ooh.
But it's still shocking that shocking. League of Nations won.
Wow.
So your theme this week is the careers of the League of Nations.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I don't feel very good about this list.
I'm so hot. I'm tired. I don't know what I'm going to do either.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one.
Intensity.
Lawrence Knights.
Lawrence Knights?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds kind of fake. I mean, it sounds kind of real. I'm going to say fake.
Real.
Okay.
It's one of Wade Barrett's old names.
Okay. Knights. That's horrible. Lawrence. Well, it should be Lawrence Knight.
Yeah, no. Two. Tank Sanders.
Tank Sanders. That had to have been Rusev at one point.
Fake.
Really? Bummer.
Three, Steve Moore.
Spell Moore.
M-O-O-R-E.
Okay. That was M-O-R-E. I'll say fake.
Real.
Fuck me.
One of Al Snow's old names and he trained.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking, I'm going for a donut now.
Four, Gene Richards.
Real.
Fake.
Fuck.
Five, Robbie Rage.
Real.
Yes.
Okay. On the board.
Six. Bart Kohler.
Bart Kohler? Kohler?
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell Kohler?
K-O-H-L-E-R.
Oh, real.
Fake.
Fuck!
Next one. El Dorado.
Oh, real.
Yeah. Do you know who that was?
El Dorado. Oh, Alberto Del Rio?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Next. Casey McKnight.
Casey McKnight. Real.
Yes.
Okay.
Next. Charles Casanova.
Oh, that's a good name, but I'll say fake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Number 10, Jesse Long.
Jesse, that sounds real.
Yes.
Okay.
11, Wolfgang Galloway.
Ooh. Wow, decisions.
You're at 5 right now? Man.
Wolfgang Galloway. I mean, the question is... Did Drew Galloway ever go by Wolfgang Galloway? Oh, Wolfgang. No, I'll say fake.
Yeah.
Okay. Wolfgang Galloway.
Last one.
Okay.
Arrow Man.
I'm going to say real.
Fake.
Damn it. Where'd you get Arrow Man from?
Somebody with the name Astro Boy, so I could get Arrow
Man. Oh, that's good. Okay, that's good.
Two questions. Ready?
Okay.
What was the name of the tag team Rusev was in for a little bit with Scott Dawson?
Oh, man. The Soviet Revival.
Fighting Legionnaires.
Fuck, okay.
And what was Alberto Del Rio's MMA record?
0-1.
9-5.
Really?
Yeah.
I just saw one match where
he got knocked the fuck out.
By Crow Cop, right? Yep. I think it was Crow.
Head kick.
I got, hey, I came through at the end there. I got six.
Good job.
Woo! 9-5. Yeah, right. He made that up.
That's according to Wikipedia.
He changed his Wikipedia.
It was Wikipedia entry.
Pero, I cannot stand this 0-1 record. 9-5 is good. All right. That was a lot of fun. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. Be sure to hit that subscribe, download button. Be sure to give us a like. Subscribe to the channel. Do all that kind of crap that you guys do. And if you guys are fans of wrestling and you have friends who are fans of wrestling, be sure to let them know all about Going In Raw. We'd really appreciate the support. Thanks to all our patrons out there. Again, you can go to patreon.com/Steven Larson to show your support. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up for Going In Raw. A lot of interesting stuff that you guys are going to really like. Check out the new shows on Machinima.
Yeah.
If you do that, you're helping us out. So, yeah, that's it. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
I'm going to go take a nap before the bonus episode.
Very good.